Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I'm calling, he called in today is Mr. Paul Lamar Hunter. He's the 19th child of Ms. Eliza Hunter and Mr. Hunter, his father, of 21 children who were all single birth. So how are you doing this afternoon, Mr. Hunter?
Yes, I'm doing great, and thank you for having me on the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you for coming on the show. The first time I saw you and your family, you were leaving Ebony or either Jet or both.
I was in Ebony magazine,
which was
a great article that they did on me, and that article was entitled "Rooted in Drama." So it was a great article.
Okay. And you also are the first one in your family to attain a bachelor's degree. Am I correct?
Yes, my mother birthed 21 natural children, 17 of us living today, 63 grandchildren, and 87 great-grandchildren. So I became the first in 2012 to graduate from Upper Iowa University with a Bachelor's of Science in Business Administration.
Okay. Yes, and your most recent television appearance, I believe, was with Miss Vivica Fox, the actress.
Yes, excuse me.
On her television show?
Yes, Vivica Fox has a new talk show that debuted September 10th, 2018. And so the name of her talk show is Face the Truth. It's a CBS distribution, and it's also the producer of that show is Dr. Phil. He's the executive producer of the show Face the Truth. So Vivica Fox gave me the opportunity to come on her show with some of my siblings and share my story of growing up in a family of 20 siblings.
20 siblings? I thought it was 21.
21.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Yes, sir. I thought that's what you said. No, I thought you had said something else. I apologize. So basically, you and your family were on this time. About two or three years ago, I got to interview you. And I was very impressed by you and the things you had accomplished and did. Now, your parents, Ms. Eliza Hunter, Eloise Hunter, I'm sorry, and Mr. Hunter, your father died, am I correct?
Yes, my father's name was James Hunter. He died in 1977. He died from a car crash. And so once he died, you know, it really devastated the family. And so my mom had to pulled up her bootstrap and become the commander in chief. And it was very difficult for us because at that particular time, you know, my father was the breadwinner in the family. He worked two jobs. And so he was a provider for us. And so it really crippled the Hunter family, but we managed to stay together and work together as a family and as a team.
Okay, that is wonderful. So you now have your bachelor's degree. And are you a father yourself?
Yes, I am a father. I'm the father of four children, and also I just became a grandfather 4 months ago, so I'm a grandfather as well. So I spend a lot of time with my children and also with my new granddaughter.
Okay, new granddaughter. All right, that is wonderful. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. So where are you at now in your life? I know you've been, you and your family, and you in particular that I know about, you know, you talked about a lot of things that went on in your life, growing up with a single mother, with a lot of other siblings and things, even though you were the 19th one, I'm sure others had probably moved on or moved out. But you also wrote a book, No Love, No Charity, The Success of the 19th Child by Paul Lamar Hunter.
Yes, I did wrote that book, No Love, No Charity, The Success of the 19th Child. That book has been adapted into a screenplay. So we are working diligently to bring this life story into the movie theater, so that way people can see a story that will impact their lives, a story of a young man that never gave up, a story of a young man that had the spirit of perseverance. And if you look at today's society, we have a lot of people that cannot bounce back from a setback. And my life story is all about bouncing back from a setback. And I have that attitude today that I don't care how many setbacks that I have, I know that I can bounce back. And so this story, my story, the Paul Lamar Hunter story, will impact people's lives. And it would change them. It would make them think that, hey, you know what? I might have grew up without my father, without my mother. I might have grew up in a foster home. I might have grew up being victimized and beat up and teared down mentally, spiritually, physically, financially. But I can overcome anything in my life.
Yes, that is true. Your life is a true testimony of what God can do and what the will of people can do, the perseverance, even through pain, suffering, setbacks. You have made it. So I'm happy that you have made it. At this point in your life, besides Ms. Vivica Fox, I get the feeling from the last interview that we did with each other, you kind of felt neglected by your mother. Am I wrong?
Yes, I did felt neglected because, see, my mom, after my father died, my mom did not focus on her children. So my mom's primary focus was on her homeless shelter, Love and Charity. That was her business. That was her child, Love and Charity Homeless Shelter. That's where she spent ample time there with the homeless men and women instead of spending ample time in her own home. So, yes, my mom not only neglected me but also neglected her own children as well. So a lot of my siblings grew up with a lot of anger problems. And so once they venture out into the world, they did not address those issues, and that's the reason why they was using a lot of drugs and alcohol, and they found that was a way to escape because all the pain and all the hurt, and it was an escape mechanism for them. But I was able not to use drugs and alcohol. I was able to surround myself with positive men and women that can encourage me, that can help me, and that can guide me and give me discipline and structure to be a better person in life.
Yes. So all of your brothers and sisters were natural Pittsburgh. I just get the feeling that you believe that that your mother should have been spending more time with her own children than running a shelter.
Yes, yes. A lot of my siblings and myself would really believe that because my mother wasn't at home. So basically what happened is I was basically raised by my older siblings. And so you got that first 10 and you have that second unit of 10, 11 children that were raised by the first 10 children. And so my older siblings were my surrogate parents for me because they were the one that taught me how to do chores, that taught me how to cook, that played kickball with me, also did homework with me. They were the one that was spending ample time with me.
Okay. All right. So do you and your mother talk? Is Miss Eloise still alive?
No, Louise. My mother's name is Louise. She's still alive today.
Sorry.
She is 87 years old.
All right. So you come from a big family. Okay. Basically, when I talk to you, I've been trying to get an interview with you for about two years now. And I know you've been pretty busy then. You've been pretty busy living your life and doing great things. I know you were on Miss Vivica Fox television show recently. I know it was produced by Dr. Phil. What else have you been doing?
Well, right now I have been pitching my story to the Steve Harvey show. Also, I have been pitching my story to the Kelly Clarkson show, Tamron Hall show, The View as well, The Talk, and also Good Morning America, the Today Show. So, I've just been pitching my life story to different syndicated talk shows. And so I believe that it will happen because the communication with all of these talk shows that I have been discussing about being a guest appearance on there has been positive. Speaking with the producers and speaking with their staff, they have been positive. So right now I'm just sitting back and waiting on a date to fly out either to New York or to California to make an appearance on these talk shows. And I think that once people see that this is a young man that never gave up and continued to knock on doors. And just because some one door that you knock on said no, keep knocking until someone says yes, and that's what I'm doing.
Yes, sir, I understand. And you have a story to tell, and it's a story that needs to be heard. It also can let people know, like you were saying earlier in the interview, that they can survive through abuse, not having parents, that in foster care or through all the life trials and hardships that they can persevere. That's what your life story shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's what it really shows. And I believe you should have a movie. I do. And I don't have a lot of faith on that, but I hope it happens because that would be something I would like to see on the big screen or on television.
Yes,
for someone.
I believe that it will happen in 2019. I believe that, that I will get the movie deal done in 2019. 2019 means a lot to me because I am the 19th child, and also it's 2019. So I'm thinking big and I'm dreaming big in 2019.
Yes, I am. Yes, I hope it happens too because too life can inspire others and give others courage.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
very much can.
Yes, and that's the main thing is to tell the story, impact people, and give them courage to move on in life and to never give up.
Yes, sir. So, what type of work do you do?
Well, right now I am a public speaker. I go around and I speak to kids in grammar school, middle school, high school, and also colleges because, you know, there's a lot of kids that might be struggling with academics. I struggle with academics, but what I was able to do was get that extra help and continue to get extra help until the light started coming on. And once the light started coming on, I became a critical thinker.
Okay, so what was life like growing up compared to what it's like today?
Life growing up was very difficult because we had a lack of food in the house, and we didn't have much to eat sometime during breakfast, lunch, or dinner. But some days, you know, we had to go without. And there was days where people, the community in the city of Racine, Wisconsin, would just knock on the door, and then they would leave food right by the door. You know, they would leave food right on the door, right by the door, you know, for us, right on the porch for us. And, you know, it was those type of people that really looked out for the Hunter family, that knew our needs, knew our struggle, but never forgot about us, would just knock on the door and leave us toys, would leave us food to eat, you know, would leave us gift cards. Those people, you know, that did that, they were unexpected people that knocked on the door and left gifts and things for us, for the house. And so I never forget about that. So right now, today, compared to now, you know, back then it was a struggle. Today it's not a struggle. So, you know, I feel good about that because, you know, I came a long ways, and my family, my siblings said came a long ways because everybody had their own, you know, careers now. And most of my older siblings, they are grandmothers and grandfathers, and they all have their lives now. They in a different stage in their lives right now.
So how is Miss Louise doing?
My mother right now, she's really suffering from dementia at this particular time. So she's very ill at this particular time. So, you know, any of your listeners, your radio listeners out there, just say a prayer for my mother.
Yes, okay. So have you, even though your child includes poverty and even tragedy, you have been able to make peace with your mother?
Yes, because, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, I was angry at my mother when I had wrote the book. I was angry when I was coming up because I didn't have a father. I did not have my father for 8 years. So I was not angry at my mother. I was not upset with my mother. My story is about the power of forgiveness. And no matter what had happened in my life, I was able to not only forgive my siblings, but also my mother. So, you know, I don't have any animosity toward my mother. You know, only thing I was upset with my mother is that, and my siblings, is that they did not show up at my graduation. Nobody showed up at my graduation. So, you know, I talk about that in my book. So what I was able to do was turn that into something positive. And I was able to forgive my mom and forgive my siblings for not showing up at my graduation because what I did was I knocked the door open for the next generation. I kicked the door open for the next generation because I became the first in my family, my whole entire family, to graduate from college with a Bachelor's of Science in Business Administration.
You've also, not only did you graduate with a bachelor's degree, but your book, excuse me, I'm sorry, but your book has also, and your life story, your inspirational story, you've been on television and radio shows such as Tabitha Smiley, the Tom Joyner Morning Show, and Fox and Friends News. I like to know, how does receiving a degree and working and educating yourself to receive, to earn a bachelor's degree, how did it change your life?
Well, it really changed my life because I began to use my critical thinking skills to write extremely well, to speak extremely well, and also to pitch my story to different networks. You know, last year I had made an appearance on the Jason Show, which is a syndicated talk show in St. Paul, Minnesota. Also, I was in Utah, Salt Lake, Utah, to appear on Good Things Utah. That was an excellent show. Also, I went to Alabama, and I appeared on a show called The Talk of Alabama. You know, these are shows that were craving for a story like mine because it really made their viewers go out and purchase the book and read it, and to also email me and say, hey, your life story really changed my life. So, you know, okay. Education plays a extremely role in everybody's lives, especially my life as well.
Okay, understand. So, I'd like to talk about something I read from somebody else, Ebony.com. I don't know if this is the magazine or the website, Ebony.com. I believe the Ebony magazine has its own website. Am I correct?
Yes, they do.
Okay, this is a recent article. Looks like may have been March of 2019. That's what it appears to be. Let me see. They asked you a question in Ebony. This says April 16, 2019. So it is Ebony magazine. You talk about procrastination. You talk about people who could be experiencing the ills of a negative family cycle through which detrimental behavior, psychological patterns are passed down intergenerationally. Would you like to talk about that, too, on this show, Talk with Angela Butler, even though it has been in Ebony magazine?
Yeah, what I was saying that is that, you know, sometimes in a family of negativity, it can be passed down to the next generation. For example, if your mama constantly puts you down and make derogatory remarks about you and say that you will never become successful, you will go to jail, you will go to prison, you will never have a productive life. When that child becomes an adult and that child has a kid, that child will repeat that same behavior of putting his son or his daughter down. So we have to stop that generational curse. And what we have to do is we have to build our children up and not tear them down. So when you're building them up, you encourage them. You say positive statements to them. You tell them that they are a warrior. You tell them that they can conquer anything that they want. You tell them that I believe in you. You tell them that you love them. You tell them that you want the best for them. So we have to constantly build them up.
Okay, build them up, not tear them down.
Yeah, build them
up,
not tear them down.
Some families don't know how to do that. Even in 2019, but I'm glad it's people like you that can go out publicly speaking on positivity and overcoming and, you know, staying positive and overcoming things. I think that's wonderful, and you would be the perfect person to do public speaking, which you are already doing, of course, but I'm just saying that it's good as people like you to lead, to show by example. Not just
yes.
Talk about it, but not just talking about it, but actually achieving and succeeding at it. And I'm happy for you. I am, but I have to ask you something. I understand that you're from, I believe, aren't you from the state of Wisconsin?
Yes, yes. I'm born and raised in Racine, Wisconsin. So I am from the state of Wisconsin.
Okay. All right, you're from the state of Wisconsin. All right. Was there racism there? I know you had a hard time. Okay,
just,
I understand that.
Yeah.
But I also know it's a blessing to have brothers and sisters, too. It can be a really good blessing to have a big family. You have protection out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nobody never bothered the Hunter family because they knew we were too big. We were one of the biggest. We were the biggest family in the city of Racine, Wisconsin. So no one wanted to pick a altercation with us, I should say that, or fight us because they were outnumbered. So, you know, no one really bothered us. So we were basically untouchable in the city of Racine, Wisconsin.
Okay, I understand that, and it makes plenty of sense to why they would. That's just protection. Yes, I understand that. Did you have to deal with racism as a black man? Have you had to deal with racism, you and your family?
Yes,
even
yes,
when you were growing up as a teenager?
And I, to this day, I have to still deal with racism. But let me say this. Racism does not dictate my future. Racism does not stop me from moving on in life. You know, I had learned to never use excuses because when we began to focus on racism, we lose our focus on the biggest, on our purpose. So when your purpose is bigger than your racism, you're going to keep moving. You know, you might see it and you might see it happen to you, but you know that your purpose is bigger than racism. So you have to keep on moving because when racism happens, it causes you to basically stop and think or sometimes become immobile. So always remember that your purpose is bigger than racism. Your purpose is bigger than what your circumstances are in life.
Okay. The type of racism you experienced, do you and your siblings, I know you said you've become what I call frozen by racism, seeing it happening over and over, whether it's through the criminal justice system, which is an injustice system, a lot of times, America is supposed to have the greatest criminal justice system in the world, and I believe that is a blatant lie that they tell other countries and continents, the land of the free and all that, but you are free. You know, but what I'm saying is, how did you just told me what you did, but when it hit the family as a whole, how did you all deal with it?
Well, we addressed it. We, as a family as a whole, we had to address the issue, and we addressed the issue. We addressed the issue in-house, and then we come up with solution. That way, you know, we have a solution, so that way it will not happen again, or we know how to deal with it. You know, we don't let racism, racist remarks, racist derogatory statements stop us from living our lives. We have to deal with it. You know, it will be around until when I'm dead, when I'm gone.
Okay. So that's how you deal with it. I understand that. All right. You try to be positive with it. What do you tell, I know you're a father, are all your children grown?
Yes, all my children are adults, so, you know, I'm glad that they are adults now because it puts them in a position that they need to be independent. They cannot depend on their mama. They cannot depend on their daddy, you know, and I like it that way. But let me say this, that to your fans or people that's listening to this interview, please go out and get the book, No Love, No Charity, The Success of 19th Child. No Love, No Charity, The Success of the 19th Child. That book is available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com. Also, you can visit my website, paullamarhunter.com, paullamarhunter.com, and I am available for speaking engagements and book signings.
Yes, because you have to make a living, too. I mean,
yes.
You understand the value of money because, you know, a lot of black kids grew up poor. A lot of black kids did, so you understand the thing, you understand a lot of things, a lot of black people did.
Yes.
You know, that's just the way it is, but a lot of people have overcame and achieved. But I still have to kind of press this just a little bit more. And it's not necessarily about all racism, but did your mother experience racism?
Yes, my mom did. Yes, my mom did experience racism when she was growing up. I remember a time when my mom had told us that she had to run from the KKK, and they end up catching her cousin, and they end up murdering her cousin. I remember my mom telling me that she was spit on. I remember my mom told me that they were beat on because, see, my mom grew up in the heart and soul of Mississippi, and that is Vicksburg, Mississippi. So she experienced a lot of drama, and she was traumatized by that, you know, not able to go to school, being spit on, being kicked on, you know, derogatory remarks were said, you know. So it really did shape and shape her life as a young child.
Yes, it did. It traumatized her. I'm sure it did. I'm sure it traumatized her knowing her cousin had been murdered, and that I'm glad she could outrun them.
Yep.
That's a blessing for her children and you, because you wouldn't be here without Miss Hunter. So, are you working on any more books besides deserving a movie deal? And
yeah, we just.
Speaking, what else are you doing?
Well, like I said, we're trying to get this movie deal done. Also, I'm trying to get on other talk shows and also finishing up a couple other books that I want to publish in 2019 and 2020 as well. So that's going to be basically it for me, you know, working on those projects right there.
So have you had any offers for a film? Because you said you believe it's going to be your year. I mean, I can understand why. You're the 19th child, like you were saying, in 2019. So have you had offers?
Yes, I did have some concrete offers. So right now, you know, you can't rush it. You have to really sit down and talk with your agent and talk with your attorney and find out what's the best deal for you, you know.
So I'm hoping to see this come to life on the big screen.
I tell you what, I'm very confident that it will happen.
Yes, and congratulations. That's your life story and your family's life story, and Miss Eloise, Miss Louise's life story, and Mr. James Hunter's life story is a story that should be told, needs to be told, and many, many people need to hear and see that in action with actors and actresses, because it will inspire them.
Yep.
Yes, sir. All right. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Mr. Paul Lamar Hunter?
That's it. Just have the people go to my website, paullamarhunter.com. Go out and get the book, No Love, No Charity, The Success of the 19th Child. No Love, No Charity, The Success of the 19th Child. That book is available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com.
Okay. I just have one more thing. So was the book therapeutic for you?
Yes,
right
it was.
Then. Okay. All right, I thought so. All right, thank you, Mr. Hunter.
Thank you.
For coming
Bye-bye.
On Show Talk with Angela. Goodbye, sir. All right, everyone, you just got through listening to Mr. Paul Lamar Hunter. This show will be available soon, within a couple of hours. You're more than welcome to go back as usual and listen to Show Talk with Angela Butler, Mr. Paul Lamar Hunter. very inspirational black man. He really is. You'll get inspired. There are children in foster care. There are children being abused and neglected. There's children dealing with racism and bullying. You know, and Mr. Hunter has come through. You heard what he said. He's wrote a book. He's been on Miss Vivica Fox, and he's been on Ebony.com, the magazine. I believe this is second time in Ebony. He's got such a great story to tell. So, and it's one that really should be on the big screen. When I said big screen movies, I think it should go. I actually think it should be in the theaters, but at the very least Netflix. At the very least. Because this can inspire people in a world that is really drowning and dying. I'm not saying it to be negative, but there are people in the world who need inspiration. And Mr. Paul Lamar and his family is it. Miss Louise Hunter herself. She overcame severe racism, even murder. Because of the color of her cousin's skin. All right, because he was black. He or she was black. All right, everyone, thank you for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Mr. Paul LaMarter said go out and buy his book, The Story of the 19th Child, No Love, No Charity. I believe it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So go out and purchase the book. And good night, everyone.